Welcome to the Floor Academy podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hedin, contractor in Arizona, former owner of Illustrious Hardwoods in Mesa. And we are here this week with the Huddle podcast. We have returning friends, actually, all across the board. We have Daniel and Jose Gonzalez, as well as Paul Stewart. If I was better at planning, Paul wouldn't be on 2 weeks in a row, but hey, that's how it happens, and sometimes you just can't get enough of a good thing. So we are very fortunate to be able to do this crossover episode where we're just recording together and putting it out there to our audiences. So make sure you go and check out what they're doing over there on the Huddle. They're having great discussions every week, trying to raise the bar in the industry, as well as very similar to what we're doing over here on Floor Academy. And all of us are going to be talking about the value of partnerships and what that brings to the table, why you need to go and make friends, have resources in the industry, know who your reps are, not be afraid to talk to your competition and your market, all of that kind of stuff. We're going to be digging into all of that and more. I want to let Floor Academy is here every week to help you elevate the business side of your business. I'm sure you are very, very good at the hand skill side, but not all of us are great at the business side, and we need both when we decide to run a business and become an owner operator and hopefully grow from there, maybe add some crews and some other employees within the business, a salesperson. We're here having the discussions to help you be able to do that. Make sure you check out flooracademypod.com. You can find all of the places where you can stream the episodes. Make sure you head on over to YouTube and subscribe over there. We're just under 300 subscribers. Let's keep getting that number up there. Make sure you leave a review, like, comment, share on the content when it's posted out there on the internet. And you can check out the store, pick up some swag, become a Patreon member over at patreon.com/FloorAcademy. Even $5 helps a lot in making this content available to you. And we've got a really quick word from Cronus before we jump into this episode. If your flooring business is giving you headaches, Cronus is the remedy you need. Cronus Flooring Business Manager is an easy-to-use and affordable solution that simplifies and streamlines your business operations, managing everything from leads and inventory to scheduling installations, all in one user-friendly platform. What sets Cronus apart is its comprehensive suite of features, ease of navigation, and full integration with QuickBooks. Don't let your business be a headache. Choose Cronus for a smoother, headache-free business management experience. Visit cronussoft.com/academy today to schedule a demo. Cronus, fast relief for your flooring business headaches. And we are going to jump into the episode right now.
What's up, team? Welcome to the Huddle, your weekly playbook where we strategize on everything from, installation techniques to mindset to how to run your business more effectively. We're not just playing the game, we're changing it. From mastering the fundamentals of our craft and distinguishing ourselves in the marketplace, we're here to ensure you are equipped with everything you need. So let's band together. Forge a new legacy in flooring. This is where you belong. So welcome to the team. Speaking of team, we got a great guest today, Mr. Kyle from Floor Academy Podcast. With me, as always, Daniel and Jose Gonzalez, who preferred flooring out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. What's up,
Yo, yo,
fellas?
yo.
What's
What's
going
going
on? I don't
on?
know how you got stuck with such horrible co-hosts, man. I am sorry. Anytime, anytime you want a
It's
better
okay, bro.
option,
Thank
right?
you for feeling
I'm
bad
out
for
here.
me.
So Kyle runs a podcast, Floor Academy. He's very passionate. He's been doing it for a while. Kyle, why don't you tell us a little bit about
we actually are not live because we're getting errors from every single platform right now.
Well, I didn't even go live, so you know what? I think we just roll with it and we have some fun here.
Hey, we
We'll
ain't
let
got a
it go
choice right
live.
now.
I gotta that chat's gonna
Passion
keep popping
says
up in the
hers,
corner.
says
That's
live.
funny. And I got a phone on. Look at this. We're just killing it over here. It even
After
has Do
that
Not
great intro,
Disturb.
guys, mine
That
says
was a
live,
really
Daniel, so why don't you work on when the live comes on, on your side?
I'm good, man. I'm fine. I'll just get this and then I can throw it up. So,
all right,
we're ready to. I'm ready to go as long as you guys are good.
I'm ready.
Master getting stuff.
Ashland says we're live.
Okay.
I don't know about the others, but we're gonna keep on trucking.
Cool. So, who am I? I'm Kyle Hedin. I still technically own Illustrious Hardwoods. I haven't figured this out yet. I'm in a change. I stopped my installation business, but it's still technically open. So I'm a licensed contractor in Arizona. I installed from 2015 up until earlier this year. And I focused on laminate, luxury vinyl plank, engineered hardwood about 4.5 years ago. I started Floor Academy Podcast because I went looking for business information as it related specifically to the flooring industry. It didn't exist. It wasn't out there. And I said, well, I have a background from my time in reality television. I know how the camera equipment works, the audio equipment works. I'll be that guy because there's obviously, if I'm looking for it, I'm not the only one. I was luckily had enough brains to realize that there's, you know, if something doesn't exist, there's probably more than one person looking for it. So here we are 4.5 years later. Haven't missed a Wednesday since its launch. So there's over 200 episodes out there of business information for you covering the entire gamut. We talk addiction issues. We talk how to figure out your numbers. We talk how to plan out, you know, systems and processes. Sometimes we just talk about our feelings and how that is going to affect your business life on from your personal side. It runs the gamut, but it's all great information. And along the way, I've been able to make lots and lots of great friends, including, you know, it started with Daniel that led me to the two of them, Daniel and Jose. And recently that led me to you, Paul. And had I had better planning on my part, I wouldn't have two episodes back to back with you in them, but you know what? That's how it's going to roll. And so your episode I recorded with you last week came out last week. And now this week they get this joint effort of this crossover of the Huddle and Floor Academy together.
Well, you know what? You can't get too much of a good thing.
I agree. No, I think, and it's it's two totally different episodes. So it's great content.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shooting from the back of my truck, dude. How about that? We're going to make this thing happen one way or another.
That's commitment, bro. That is commitment right there.
Dedication.
No, you know what's cool, though, is we talk a lot about the connections and getting to know, you know, the industry through getting out and putting yourself out there and networking. We talk about that quite a lot. And that's how I met you. That's mm-hmm. how you met Daniel, and Daniel introduced you to his brother, Jose. I mean, putting yourself out there as an installer, just connecting, there's multiple ways, joining the podcast, you know, whether it's Floor Academy, the Huddle, join one of the podcasts, do some commenting, get involved in the industry, and then go to conventions. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of conventions that are more geared to the installer now, at least two that I know of, and a third happened just kind of off a whim at the summit in Dalton a few weeks back. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a place for installers to go now. We're trying to build a community,
yeah,
and have that community come together. That's the only way that we can get what we want from the installer's perspective. You can't do it alone. You can't just raise your prices to one shop if you're working out of retail stores, because that shop will only pay you so much, even if you're the best. But if as a community, we're all coming up and we're the prices can go up, the professionalism can go up. And frankly, you know, our industry respect as a craft, as a true craft, will increase as well. That's like our real purpose behind all this, you know? So it's great to have you, you know, join us on the Huddle. I've been on your podcast and you guys do a lot of really, correct me if I'm wrong, but you do a lot of deeper dives into individual issues
mm-hmm.
and get down and dirty on some stuff. What's your favorite issue you've shot?
I don't, I don't know that there's a favorite. For me, I love the numbers. Like, that's where I get really passionate. I like solving problems and coming up with creative ways. I think that's where my film industry and storytelling background comes in a lot for what I do in this world now of construction. Is I like finding and solving problems. I've learned that I'm horrible at executing. I think a lot of entrepreneurs are, is that we end up in a role where we have to actually go and execute plans, and we're not so great at it. Whereas I'm great with the vision and I can see things. And so what I've learned, especially through doing the mastermind groups that I facilitate, and I've worked with Jose and Daniel, is I'm able to get an outside perspective of your business, and I can then go and say, well, hey, what if you were to tweak these things over here? And I usually come at it from a totally different angle that no one else is looking at it from. And generally I've found that it works, and that's kind of my special skills. I wasn't raised in this industry. I stumbled into it, fell in love with the people. And so my take on it is from a totally outside perspective that has nothing to do with it. Well, I totally respect the craftsmanship and the artisanship that takes place. At the end of the day, we're all running businesses, or at least we're supposed to be, and you have to make money. And so I love helping people find a way to make the money. And sadly, the lowest hanging fruit is to say charge more. But that message only worked for maybe the first year of the podcast. After that, the people that started charging more, you can only charge more for so long before you have to learn how to be efficient, get better skills, better systems, better processes, mm-hmm. better networking, better relationships. Yeah, that you, sure. There's so much more that has to go into it. And that's really where it's gotten exciting, is how do you have to put these pieces together?
Well, that's cool. I mean, it's obviously that's typical, though. As you get better in your craft, you get a little bit more speed. Then you got to find the efficiencies to start making more money. And that's almost in any business. There's a lot of businesses that don't make money the first couple of years. That's also the message I try to make sure that people understand. You get into flooring, it's no different. If you're going to start your own flooring business, your own flooring installation company, it's no different than any business. You might make money the first year, but it's a lot of investment for the first few years. And you got to have that perseverance to stay with it. Then you start finding those efficiencies and those systems that will help you be more profitable. You start to get, well, your reputation. It's a really nice coalescence between the two, because your reputation, you start to get known for your quality while you're doing these other things. And that's when you really start to have that. What I've seen time after time, the success comes really nicely about that time frame. As long as you're committed to all aspects, to the quality, to the dedication to finding more efficient methods, more systems. I mean, these guys, both of them, as well as myself, grew our businesses out of installation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's how you did it, right, Jose? You guys were installers, yes. and you grew it through becoming well-known, having great quality, being in demand, then finding efficiencies, and that, frankly, never stops. I mean, we're one of the largest flooring contractors in Kansas, and we're still searching for efficiencies and better methods every day.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the things, too, like let everyone know that I did a mastermind with Kyle for a year. Daniel was also involved, and through the program, when we got to sit down with other people in the industry and have different perspectives, that actually did help us view things in a different light. Like, no one likes to be told what they're doing when they're doing something wrong, right? But you have to hear it sometimes. And sometimes some of the systems that work for Kyle aren't going to work for me, and what works for me isn't going to always work for student associates. But it's always nice to hear that there's different systems and different ways to implement certain things for whatever growth you'd like to have. And that's where the mastermind group that we were part of with Kyle, that he hosted, came into play. And we did hit a couple milestones as a business while we were part of that group. And to say that I didn't make some friends out of that group, I'd be lying to you, because you get put in a position where you're talking to someone every week and then every other week, and you know, and it's an accountability group is really all it ended up being in my eyes. But we also learned from one another as well, and I had the benefit of being on his groups with some pretty successful people.
And that's the thing, right? Like, because you still do that get together on Saturdays, and I still got the link, even though I'm not part of it. So I joined this weekend.
I thought I seen you in there.
to Van and Steven.
Cheater.
I must have got deleted from that link.
Actually, it was on his calendar, and then it popped up on mine. I was like, let me see who's in here, see what's going on.
all good. But no, I think that's the beauty of it. Is Jose, you're not wrong. It is an accountability group. But I think that's what we need if we're going to be sitting here talking about the benefit of relationships and going, and like we need to go to these events and network with people. That's what I'm looking for when I go. Like, look, going and seeing the products, cool, right? Something new came out. All right, does it work for me? Does it not work for me? I don't need to spend 20 minutes with Shaw, Mohawk. I can look at a product and I kind of know it in like 5 minutes. I'm done. I've moved on. But to sit down and meet people that are coming from different markets, different backgrounds, and all that, that's what really gets me excited, because like you said, what works for you won't necessarily work for me, but there's probably benefit in knowing that I have to find a way to hold myself accountable to that specific metric in some way. And then implement that is what matters.
And I give me your feedback on this, either Daniel or Jose, but you know, one of the things I found is just because it doesn't work for me in the exact form that I see it, doesn't mean that I don't manipulate a little bit and find the way that it does work for me. It's the ideas a lot of times. I did a demo the other day with a company that does this inventory management stuff. And my staff was in the meeting and they were like, well, I think we can, you know, I don't see how this is going to like benefit us. And we kept watching and kept watching, and light bulbs started going off. And they were like, well, even though we may not use this platform, I just got this idea. What if we did this when we receive materials? And what if we did that when we get them delivered? And they started building all these systems, and we came up with two new processes that should make us, you know, more effective and efficient at the same time. So like, just it, that's the magic. It's not just that it's like, you're going to take something, ingest it and make it work for your business. If you have open ears, if you go in with the right attitude that you want to learn something new, you want that, you're never too big to hear something new and absorb it. I know that I've learned from these guys. I've learned from my own installer group. There's just really, there's a lot of magic and a lot of synergy that happens when you come together as a team with some common goals and share your experiences.
Well, and I think go ahead, Daniel.
It's a lot easier to start with something than it is from nothing.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. That's a great foundation to start with, for sure.
That's the problem, is that every little guy out there is out there thinking, I can't talk to my competition. I can't go network in my own market and meet people because they're going to steal my work, and I can't help them out because they won't help me out. And here's the thing. Your business isn't different from your neighbor's business. And if they've already got something in place, why are you trying to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah,
go grab it and steal it like that. I don't want to plug my stuff. I'm really not trying to. But one of the beauties of the mastermind group is that as people develop stuff, I'm putting all of that in the vault. And so then other people come and join, and they're like, man, I wish I had this. And I'm like, here you go. You know, you just hand it out. And they're like, oh, my God, this just saved me like 10 hours. But that's the beauty of going and muting people
of it. Right. Because that you said you don't want to plug your stuff, but honestly, that's kind of what we're here together for, right?
Yeah, plug it in, bro.
It's a crossover. Plug it in, man. Like, we've done your mastermind. It was a great time.
Where's your bandana? you know, I want to add on to what you just said right there about go to where they're at, grab it, take it away from them. You're absolutely right, but sometimes you're I don't even want to say competition, but sometimes the people you go to mingle with that are in your same market, they might have a bunch of vehicles and no drivers, and you might be one of the drivers for a little bit. And you just might have to jump behind that wheel and drive a vehicle for them. Because you are, if you separate yourself from the industry, you're going to have a skill set that can benefit them as well as you. Especially on the labor side, if you have a skill set on the labor side that could benefit a company that they don't have. Another thing, too, is, you know, somebody, I forget what book I was listening to recently, that it said the fastest way to scale up is to acquire another business. Oh, no, it wasn't even a book. It was a meeting I had downtown with our local chamber. And they were like, the fastest way to scale up is through acquisition. Like, that's the fastest way, because if you find a place that's already got processes and procedures and those type of systems in place, and you can take it, right? And that's
That's why franchise works so well, right? I mean, is with all the systems, we don't have flooring franchises of installer franchises yet. The fact is that we got to learn from one another and not be scared of sharing. Like, what I would say is competition is good. That is my premise of business. You can look at, why do restaurants all gather in the same area? Why do, if you go to any part of your flooring, it's usually you are in the same kind of area as other businesses for a reason. It's not, you shouldn't be scared of it. The competition is good, and you can learn from other people, as we've said in this podcast. But I'm telling you what, beyond learning, if you start to, when you get really busy, if you can give another installer who's you have their back, like, you know, they're really good, and you give them a project, you are putting good stuff out in the universe. I'm telling you, that will come back to you 100-fold. You'll get more work if you are less, you know, I don't want to get all spiritual on you, but when you start getting real, like, negative thinking and negative, limited mindset, that's when you start thinking like it's a world of strife and, like, you know.
Well, you get what you put into it is pretty much what it is. If you're going to put negativity into it, you're going to get negativity out of it. If you're going to approach everything in a positive manner, then you're going to get something positive out of it too. And anything that we can view as negative as we progress, and I'm sure a lot of successful people have as well, anything negative wasn't really a negative if we learned something from it. If we were able to sit back and laugh and say, let's not do that again, then that helped us out. There was nothing negative about it in the long run. At, you know, short-term view, there's how are we going to manage, how are we going to get through it? You know what? One of us has always said, don't worry, we will. We'll figure it out. And that's a
You don't have a choice but to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you don't have a choice.
Another thing to think about is the flooring companies get together. Like, you got Fuse, you got FCICA.
Oh, yeah.
You got StarNet. Like, we get together. We share best practices. We try to figure out the best thing. Installers should be doing the same. That's what this huddle's all about. That's what this podcast is all about, is coming together and becoming great. And a lot of them companies, you know, we got better when we joined Fuse 5 or 6 years ago. I know that most companies who join them will tell you the same thing. They joined StarNet, or they joined Fuse, or they joined the FCICA, and they're huge proponents of it. Or I think Commercial One's another one that has a bunch of flooring companies in it. So if flooring companies are getting together, installers, listen to me, get together, start joining these podcasts with Kyle, on Floor Academy, join the podcasts on the huddle, like, and then get to the conventions that really matter to you. And I know
even Beth Miller's on here. She has a podcast too.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's not even that. Look, I just went at the beginning of March. So what, 2 weeks ago from when we're recording this or so, I drove up from Phoenix to Fresno, California, and there was an event called THASI. It was the Hybrid and Advanced Systems Installation Event. So it was for tile people, and they were looking at, like, mud work and incorporating foam into it and, like, putting the two technologies together. But it was for installers by installers. And there's another event called Mud that's very similar that's been held in Idaho Falls. They're going to hold that. They changed locations for this upcoming for this year, but I don't remember where. But that's happening. Like, it's a grassroots effort by installers for installers. Where I don't see that, I don't see carpet people planning events that I, and I'm not hearing about them. I don't see hardwood guys planning their own industry events that are all about education. I'm not seeing Cove Base and, you know, vinyl guys planning events. But I think that's the next evolution, is that there's all of these coverings, Tice, NWFA Expo. They're great, but they're kind of for the bigger boys, really. And especially like Tice, it's more of a retailer show. I love it. I get to go. I get to see all my friends. I get to meet everybody. It's great for networking in general. But at the end of the day, it's a product display. Same with coverings. It's a product display. It's more for retailers, in my opinion, than it is for the average Joe that's running an installation company. And so if we want the event,
that's where FCICA and CFI's commingling and doing their convention. You know, that is the carpet players. Like, those guys get together, they're CFI strong. Now, FCICA was there, and that commingled some other groups in. So I think that there's some. The vinyl life is a little bit different. Like, I've not ran. That was my preferred flooring to install. No pun intended, gentlemen. But you know, you don't see the vinyl guys coming together and sharing heat welding techniques, but except for at training. So
yeah.
But you know, I think that there's a evolution going on there. I think you're right there.
That's what it's turning into. Is it's no longer like it's you have to pay to get to the event, but it's not a paid training. It's not a paid certification. It's guys that are just passionate about it. It's CFI, but the early days, like the early days, right? They would just go and like work with a shop and help them. That's what was happening, is people that wanted to learn mud work were able to learn mud work at Thassy. They had a thing on how to do epoxying mitered edges for like niches and stuff. And it was just, Josh Levitt, who's just super passionate about what he does. And there was probably 20 guys standing around a standard, like 4 foot long, folding table, watching him work with it, asking questions. How do I do this better? What about this? How do you do, you know? And it was just an expert answering. It was beautiful. Kind of workshops. Yeah. And so it's just
the thing with the tile industry, though, is I think that the tile industry, actually the manufacturers end up supporting their installers a lot better than the rest of the industry does.
Well, okay, so let's look at one of the sponsors of the show. Well, do you think that
that's because they fall under a different category for like a union? They can fall under like the masonry and all that, so they're categorized differently?
No,
I don't think so.
You start to get the biggest thing is tile's still distributed. It's one of the biggest factors. You get some distributor, like a lot of the trainings that happen at different in different cities at distributors' offices or in their warehouse or what have you.
Correct.
Those products are distributed. Carpet's bought direct from the mill, so there's no real distribution center for carpet anymore. LD Brinkman was the last one, and they're gone. They've been gone for 15 years. And sheet vinyl is, where do you buy your sheet? Where do you buy your Nora from? From Nora. You know, a lot of that's still bought direct from the manufacturer. Now, it gets distributed to Tarkett, gets distributed, and I think that's where the evolution's coming in. But so much of the tile, all the tile, it's very rare you buy direct from the manufacturer unless you're importing it from Italy.
There's, I think that helps, is that you were able to find spots easier. Although at this distributor, we had manufacturers there that weren't in that distributor. They hadn't built that relationship yet. And so obviously one of the, you know, incentives was to try and make that happen. But they didn't care, right? They were still there. They were able to show their wares. They were able to get people to educate them about the product. And at least in my market down here in Phoenix, we have a location called Contractor Furnishing Smart which is actually more from the Pacific Northwest, is where they're bigger and have 98% of their locations. But they don't stock any material, and then they have relationships with the same local distributors that I was able to, plus the major manufacturers.
Yeah.
But they have a giant warehouse that's unused right now. Like, I guarantee you that if you go around to your different distributors in town, your different retailers, somebody, if you ask them, they will open up their warehouse to you. And then you just need to reach out and build those relationships with your local reps and get them there. It's really not that difficult. I'm pretty sure, like, it would take me some work, but I think within 2 months, if I put it in, I could have an event in Phoenix that was showing off. If I wanted to combine it into all of the different categories within the flooring, tile, stone industries, I could make that happen. But it's just a matter of, you know, to go back to relationships, you got to know your reps. And I don't think enough people are even, besides meeting your competition, and nobody's competition, there's more than enough work for everyone, right? Let's just build each other up and raise the bar in our industry. But you got to go and meet your local manufacturing reps. And even if you don't use their products, you don't know what a client's going to ask you. You need to be informed and on top of it and have that relationship.
Yeah.
Because if you can, it goes back to what Paul was saying. If you can help somebody, you're just putting good out in the world. It's going to come back to you.
That's about creating solutions, right? That's what we do.
Solve problems.
We're solutionists by nature. Yeah. And whether it's solving an issue with maybe another installer is having some problems, or you go to the other side and try to go help a client get the right material in their house. I mean, we're solving right. potential issues from the start.
I had a call from an installer today that was asking me questions about some sheet vinyl and some Flash Cove, right? And granted, he was not in our area, but I still get those calls from people in our area, from the ones that are comfortable calling, and that's how it needs to be. It's mm-hmm. It shouldn't be a matter of, all right, I'm going to call them because I know they work across the country. It's I'm going to call them because they know what they're talking about. And more people need to open up like that. Just like Beth Miller said earlier, you know, we can't afford to keep holding the solutions hostage.
It shouldn't be a secret, right?
That's industry-wide for sure.
Yeah, but, and I didn't think about, you know, the distributor thing on the tile side until you said something, but it's
me
true.
Me either, I mean, Bob.
Look at your hat, right? Schluter. They put on workshops with distributors all the time. It's like weekly. They're constantly doing something.
That's the one I haven't figured out.
There's just more outlets. There's just more outlets. Well, and so, it's, you know, if you wanted to do a carpet seminar or something about hand sewing or doing flat weaves or any of the stuff that is in the carpet world, there's no distributor to go congregate around. You could do it like I could do it at my warehouse and then get a few people around. But the distributors for tile, I mean, they even know all the it's also allow they know all the installers in the area as well, because those installers go in and buy their spacers, they go in and buy their trowels, they go in and buy their saws, they're going in the distributor to buy these things. So that's one of the
I'm going into the distributor to buy tack strip and my, you know, my staple gun and my seam sealer that you should be using in your carpet. I'm still going to that same distributor to buy tools. They'll open up their space. Like it's not just because they don't carry the product doesn't mean that you can't get the space. Like they still have access to the same people. I think it's a matter of
if you do the work in the industry. If you do the work like you said, and somebody was passionate about doing that work, definitely. I'm not saying that the distributor like EJ Welch in Wichita, they would open up their warehouse and let us do something, but it just doesn't happen as naturally when the tile is there. It's all tile. You always have to buy it from a distributor or if you're a flooring company, you're buying from a distributor. That's how they get their products into a market. So you're not, frankly, carpet, just to be clear here, carpet's a little bit different beast because it's lost a lot of the market share. So there's a lot of a lot less flooring being covered with carpet. You got more tile, more hardwood, and significantly more vinyl products. So
yes, yes, I agree.
Well, they got that new tongue and groove carpet coming out, don't they? DIY.
No, they did the Arrow carpet a few years ago. That was supposed to be kind of that thing, but I haven't seen that in years. I don't even know if that's
magnetic flooring.
Hey, they do have that out. Matter of fact,
they do.
They do have that. So you're right about the distributors, though, guys. So, like, we wanted to do a certification locally, right? And we had a distributor lined up, and I had, as a matter of fact, we had a distributor ready to rock. They gave us the green light, and then we had another flooring store that we were going to go there, and they had the space available. The problem was is like the attendance. To get that many people to commit locally was proven to be very difficult, because you have to have X number of attendees in order for it to make sense all the way around.
To make it, right? If they're going to do it, they want that attendance, right? Because the more people that they can get their products in front of, the better. And it does make sense, but at the same time.
So getting
probably be easier for us to get people from across the country to come to our area and do it than it would be to get local people there.
That's what I'm seeing, to be honest. So I've tried multiple times to get a CFI certification and the CTI, the Certified Tile Installer certification, going in Phoenix. I cannot get, they want 10 people for a CFI. They want a minimum of 6 for the CTI. Yeah. Can't make it happen. I've tried multiple times. With the local people, I have a local Facebook group. There's over 200 people in it. I can't even convert, 10%, 5% of it to make a certification happen. It's really disappointing. Whereas when I've seen these opened up, it is because it's opened up to a national level and it is a bigger event. It's drawing in larger names of people that want to meet, that know each other from interacting online within the online community, that you get more people that are excited and passionate about the industry and are willing to make sacrifices to grow their career than you do in a local level. And I always say, people ask like, it's so far, like, why would I want to go to a certification out of state? Because if you're willing to invest in yourself, if you're willing to walk away from a week's worth of pay for a plane ticket, pay for lodging, pay for the food and drinks and going out a couple of nights, if you're willing to do that, that means the people that are going to that event are willing to do that too. And those are the people that I want to meet. I don't want to go to a local certification and meet the guy that's only willing to go 5 minutes down the road. I don't think that guy has nearly as much to offer me. And so I want to meet people that are willing to compete and be the best and make sacrifices in their life to get better, as opposed to like accept the standard mundane day-to-day life that comes with being an installer, right? It goes back to you could probably go to a workroom and you're going to see guys that are there and excited in the morning and like really want to get out and get at it. And then you're going to see a group of dudes that stand in the back and they're all bitching and moaning about how they hate their life. They hate their job. They don't understand why they're still doing it. This place pays like crap. And yet they keep showing up every day over and over and over again. But it's that negativity you mentioned earlier. It is, but it's the negativity you mentioned earlier, right? Like it feeds on itself and keeps going.
You just made me think of something too.
Just going to interrupt us here real quick. We got a quick word from our sponsors, John's Manville. The rumors are true. GoBoard Pro is available and approved for steam showers. GoBoard Pro was developed with the pro contractor's ease of project workflow in mind. Panel sized at 4 feet by 64 inches will limit waste on your project. They'll require less seams, meaning less sealant is needed. And best of all, you can space those beautiful blue GoBoard fasteners out to 12 inches without requiring washers. Visit www.jm.com/GoBoard for all of the product details and to learn more about their other products. This sounds like it is great. I'm glad to hear GoBoard Pro is finally coming out, and it sounds like it can streamline your workflow. So Efficiency is always more money in your pocket. And now we will hop on back to the show.
You just made me think of something too. So you have certifications during the week versus on the weekend, right? So you have trade contractors who work for themselves, who are proprietors of their own business, who would rather do it on a weekend so that it doesn't interrupt their work. And then you have employees who would rather do it during the week so they can still get paid. Like, they want to get paid by the hour and attend a class. So there's a balance that has to be found there, right? Like, how do you have any ideas on how to remedy any of that?
Well, so as an employee, if I, as an employer, send my employee anywhere, it doesn't matter if it's the weekend, I have to pay them. If I require them to go, the employee gets paid. So congratulations, like, as an employee, you don't have anything to complain about. But as
I said that wrong, they don't want to go unless they're getting paid is what I, so they don't want to,
they have to. The problem is, no, see, they don't want to go because they don't want it. They think it's dumb. That's what I see, is that when you send an employee, they don't understand what you're actually providing them. And the companies are set up wrong in order to actually convey the importance, the passion, and get people excited about learning, as opposed to, you know, they think they're going to this thing and they're like, I know everything, I don't need this. You know, they're just that smart ass in the class that's like trying to poke holes and ruin it for everybody else that's there to actually gain something. You know,
I got great employees because every time we've sent the guys to a training, any of our employee installers, they have been absolutely finishing the top of the class. They're very happy. They're very appreciative.
That's fantastic.
They appreciate the opportunities to go learn more. I think that, you know, maybe to Jose's point, employees probably are not going to go self-elect to do a training. Like, I've paid, doesn't matter where it's at or when it's at, I've paid for them to go. I see the biggest problem. The employee installer as a group is still better trained than the subcontractor. In general,
I agree with more training.
There's more certified body in the employee installer than there is the subcontractor.
I would buy that. But I think that's because the guy that got himself off his knees to do that is passionate enough to understand the importance of it. So they enter some sort of structure versus learn as you go.
There's some sort of structure behind being an employee versus the learn as you go. And that's a huge, huge difference.
Because 80+% around 85-87% of all floorings installed by subs from a national perspective, the subs are the ones we're consistently talking to about getting trained, you know, and investing in yourself. We use that term all the time, right, fellas? Is invest in yourself. Don't spend your time, invest your time. And when you invest your time and money into your craft, you're going to look, take money aside. Money's important, but you're going to be happier. I was much happier when I was actually doing the stuff the right way and after I had learned than when I was hacking and slashing, trying to figure everything out on my own. It's incredibly frustrating to try to put a piece of vinyl together and not know that I was supposed to reverse the damn sheets. It, you know, just that kind of stuff. That you'll be a happier installer being well trained. People like to do things they're happy doing, things that they're good at. So I just want to grab people. Yeah.
So Nate Hall, the comments aren't coming through right because we've been having issues with the live, but I got it over here. Nate Hall says that there's like 50-60 people at the top of the pyramid. We just need to get all the thousands of people at the bottom to see that value of the top and try and get there, like even just a little bit.
So I'll be honest. Here's what I've learned. My frustration for the longest time was that I am passionate about wanting to help the guys that don't understand business. They're living paycheck to paycheck. They don't even understand that they are more than, you know, they say, oh, I'm just an installer. No, you're not, dude. You're running a business. Like, whether you realize it or not, you fill out tax paperwork every year that makes you a business, even as a sole proprietor.
Right.
And I've had to struggle with wondering, why are my listens so low? Why is my conversion rate into the mastermind group so low? Why can't I get this masterclass I want to put together going? And I honestly, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, we all get mad as Americans. We're like, oh, I hate the one percenters. They make too much money. They suck. Ah, da, da. It's not fair. You want to know the conversion rate for people that go into my mastermind group? 1%. There's one percenters within the flooring industry, and that's who we're looking to do, right? And so if we can continue to influence that 1% and expand it to only 5 or 10%, I think we've knocked it out of the park. That's a great view. It's been such a struggle of like, I've just learned that I'm going to bang my head against the wall trying to convince people that don't want to believe. I mean, there's flat earthers that have literally disproved that the earth is flat using their own tools, and yet they refute that that happened, and they say something went wrong. You can't convince someone that of what they need when they don't want it, right? It's the same thing as dealing with an addict.
You're talking to a flat earther over here, man. This dude is a flat earther.
I hope so. I hope he really is. But it's the same thing.
Send him a link to the video.
It's the same thing as talking to an addict, right? You can't help an addict not be addicted to the substance.
Help themselves.
Exactly. Until they want it themselves. And so all you can do is put it out there and hope they, when they're ready, they'll latch on. But if I get one person, we're one person better, and I know I've gotten more than one.
So that's one thing you said about trying to attract them, right? And we've learned that we've attracted the things that we wanted out of being business owners or out of life in general by not trying to aggressively attract them, just going about and letting our actions speak for themselves, and then it attracts what we've been trying to obtain. I would say. So I guess you just gotta play the waiting game, right? Is there where the patience is a virtue thing? Is you gotta be patient, and people will eventually see the change that has been made in the people who are making those connections, even through your connections.
I think
if I told you I didn't learn something from you guys, I would be lying. But and I always advocate for you. I don't ever not advocate for you. Like, oh yeah, this is where I learned it. It's just one of those things where. Got to give everything time for people to see the value in what in information, any information that anyone offers.
I think it's a time thing. And I think people, they're always going to respect somebody that's walking the walk. It's easy to talk the talk. And so they want to see something of, you know, the success story. Oh, okay. So you're out there, you're doing it. And it really is working. You know, I know that I still get crap of, well, you weren't an installer very long. You never ran a multi-million-dollar business. I don't have to have done any of that stuff to understand what I'm talking about and being able to.
Yeah, but you had tens of hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, I did well.
Tens of hundreds.
I got tens of hundreds. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But you know, I did well for myself. I understood what I was doing. I just fell out of passion with it, and I think that's another thing is I shut down the flooring business, one, because it was a distraction to what I really wanted to build. And there was enough income, luckily, in Floor Academy that I could move forward. But I've had a couple of clients call me and they're disappointed that I'm not installing anymore. And I've had to tell them that the honest answer is I can't install your floor because I will not deliver you what I'm promising you on paper. I am no longer passionate about doing it, which means I'm going to go there every day and be miserable doing a job, which means I'm not going to give it my all, which means I'm going to deliver you a subpar project and end result. That's not fair for me to charge you top dollar.
Then how do you incite the passion into an industry? How do you incite passion into an industry of, you know, what's been described as, you know, some guys that hate their jobs or whatever? Mm-hmm. How do you do that without,
I think we're coming around to it. I think part of it is, one, we have to stop telling everybody the only way to make money is to go out on their own. That's the biggest lie that's being told in this industry, in my opinion. We have way too many people running businesses and doing work that were never properly trained to do the work. So that's one part of it. the second part is that businesses need to step up and actually learn how to run a business and put in, like, the one of the things I've noticed is that people don't have core values, mission, and vision statements. And if you don't have that, I don't know how you have a business, because you don't know what you stand for, which means you're just winging it every decision you ever make. It's not based on anything other than how you personally feel, which is horrible because your business is its own entity and it needs to stand for something and have its own set of values to make decisions on. So once you have that, then employees can know where they're going, which they can get excited about because there's opportunity. And they can develop a culture based on your values, which they will understand that things never change. And then when you have a positive culture along with a vision and a mission, now you get people that can be passionate because they can accomplish their goals through the offerings of your company. And that's, whereas if you just keep telling everybody, you know, you have these salty guys that won't train anybody, I can't teach you, you're going to go out on your own and steal all my work. Well, that's not true. But you have a bunch of salty dudes that are trying to not train people and then telling them the only way to make money is to go out on your own. Or they won't train them, and so the only way for them to learn is to go out on their own and just start messing it up. Like, it's completely broken. The good news is the average age of an installer is like 55 plus. So that generation isn't going to last much longer.
Yeah. So
right. There's an open door there. There's an open door for the younger generations. Even if they're at 30 years old right now and mm-hmm. want to pick up a trade, they have enough time to learn something and find their place in the industry and still find success.
I think it'll fix itself, to be honest. I think that they're just going to slowly get washed out. And the people that are stepping up, I noticed it a couple of years ago. I know Beth Miller's
watching. So natural selection is going to happen?
Pretty much.
And leave it up to natural selection in the industry?
No, I think that there's positive changes happening, but that's where I'm going. And so, like, I noticed a couple of years ago. So I started in June of 2015 is when I started in the flooring industry. And I was getting the industry magazines, and I was reading them, and I was seeing who was writing the articles constantly, every month, same people, article.
You were doing more than most.
And yes.
Yeah.
That's me being a dork, right? And I know you guys are the same way. Like, you want to know
the
whys.
You're still a dork.
Yes, I am.
We just say nerds, bro. We just say nerds. Hey,
lore nerds.
I'm a nerd, a dork. I'm an everything.
Well, it could be worse. You could look like this guy right here.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to look like Ken. Not at all. But anyway, so I was fortunate enough to be offered a writing gig with Floor Covering Installer Magazine. Thank you, Beth, for making that happen. And I think within that, when I got my opportunity, I saw other younger people getting an opportunity. And not that I'm young. I mean, I turned 41 last year. And
dang!
I know. Oh, I'm so old. But in the grand scheme of things, like if 55 is on their way out, right, I'm closer to on my way out than I am the start. And I started late. I started at, you know, 32 or whatever. So, but I saw a change in who was putting the information into the magazines. The magazines all started to shift towards a slightly younger audience. And the age drop was about 15 to 20 years, I want to say, for who was putting out the content, which is great, right? Now we have a new generation of folks that are influencing what's happening. I know that the leaders at some of the industry organizations are older, and they are starting to plan their exit strategies and really get in order who's going to take over. And, you know, there's got to be like a 3 to 5 year plan at a minimum to get somebody up to speed to be an executive at one of these organizations. So I think those changes are starting to happen, and the players that are there are starting to be identified and step up. And these podcasts are part of that, you know. Again, to bring it back to me realizing that I can't help everyone and it's not going to happen overnight. 55-year-old dudes don't want to listen to a podcast on average. It's just not their form of entertainment. It's more for younger people that are, you know, 12 to 30.
Same with all the technology that's being created.
Oh, dude.
Put out there. It, yeah. You know, obviously – you know, with Go Carrera being a technology company, that the resistance to that age group is immense. So
it's a waiting game.
Yeah, you just got to persevere through, and people want. I think the younger crowd is probably. I think this there'll be a little bit of a shift back to employee, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, that's kind of against my business model for Go Carrera, but I also am in flooring in general, and you know, a shift back a little bit would be, I think, you know, do a little equilibrium going. Could be beneficial for the industry, but I wanted to butt in real quick because I have a board meeting I got to get to. I'm on the board of a children's home, so I've got a board meeting in 5 minutes. So I am going to jump and let you guys continue. That's why I'm in the back of this truck, sitting out in the parking lot. But it was a pleasure to hang out with you, Kyle, and as always, guys. It's been a joy today. We'll see you guys next week. And you guys continue on without me, and I will catch you another time. I hope I don't end the stream if I do this.
No, I'll take you up right off of here real quick. Thanks, Paul. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Take it easy, brother. Thank you.
See you, guys.
But I think, you know, if we want to talk about relationships, look at that guy stepping up and getting on a board for a children's organization within his market. Like, you don't know who you're going to meet and where. So you better go get involved in things out. Like, you can't just stay within flooring. It's not going to work. You've got to go meet people in other areas of life to really get exposed to everything that's out there. So good on him.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about going back to the employee model. You know, I've talked to one guy this week, another guy last week, and that's what we were talking about. It's, I talked to my buddy who's an electrician, and every other trade has a line that they have to follow in order to get through their career. Mm-hmm. And we just don't, like, correct, as an industry. And it's not just tile, it's carpet, it's everyone. And we just don't have that. And I think unless we all get together, and that's every single organization, and kind of say, hey, we have to standardize something, then we're not going to end up moving forward. And the guys coming in aren't going to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I think some of it's going to come from companies like yours. There's the companies that I'm working with through my mastermind groups, which, you know, that's you guys included, are ones that I see 5-10 years down the road being the game changers in the industry. As this is already a lucrative career. Like, if you're not making money, I'm sorry, but you're doing it wrong. Granted, yes, I lived in Phoenix, which was a large market, and I could stumble over a job by walking out my door and, like, somebody's going to need a floor because there's 4.5 million people here. But it wasn't hard to set a standard and say, I will only sell my skills for this. And if we're in that much of a deficit of installers already, and the average age is 55, then that means more people are headed out than are coming in. So supply and demand dictates prices will go up, which means it's only going to get more lucrative from here. What that also means is that, well, I don't want to be a gatekeeper. I have to protect my industry. And I see companies like yours being the future in saying, we have a training program. We have a standardized way of getting you from greenhorn to journeyman. And I can help you do that. And I'll teach you the skills along the way that if you want to go out on your own, I will help you become a business owner. I can give you the guides. I can help you do that. And that model will change it, which I'd rather see companies doing that as all these young people flood in, because it's going to get to the point where you know, you struggle right now to stay busy for a week. It's going to be amazing to sit there and be like, I don't even have to try. I'm booked out 6 months and I'm having to tell everybody to go away. When it gets to that point, everyone and their mother is going to pick up a tool and say they can install flooring. And so we have to be able to start finding ways to sell the value and protect homeowners from making bad decisions on who they hire. And I think companies like yours are going to be the way to do that. and other companies that I'm working.
That's where I feel like it goes beyond just the journeyman aspect, right? Because like Elena says, we have passionate trainers and they have to share that. Like everyone sees our work, you know.
Yeah.
I think we have to look at what happens after you're done on the floor. I mean, you're in that transition right now, right? You found something that you love doing, mm-hmm. and it's looking at what our industry offers in terms of technical, sales, project management, all that, and then training has to come into play too. And with all these new people that we need in here, we need full-time trainers, and we have to make that as lucrative as installing, because
yes,
some of these trainers like Elena are really, really good, and they should be paid, you know, a wage where they can live on and be comfortable and train, you know, right. 100% of the time.
The money that I've heard thrown out, I think we just
talked about this the other day.
I've heard some of the numbers that are getting thrown out for the people to go do the training for FCEF, Floor Covering Education Foundation, right? They're getting all the programs into the local vocational and technical colleges and whatnot across the country. And I've heard the numbers of what they're willing to pay those teachers. And it's not FCEF's fault, right? It's just what the college can pay and whatnot. But no, I can't go be a teacher for, you know, especially in Arizona, where I don't know why we have any teachers here. We're one of the worst in the country, right? They're making like $30,000 a year. Would I leave a career making $100,000 plus to go make 30? You know, I could, and I get it. Okay. Right. I can be really, really passionate about what I do, but I also want to have a good way of living, and I'd like to be able to retire someday. And so there has to be this balance. I just saw somebody that was a installer, got in an accident and they're wheelchair bound now. And so they were struggling to run their business. I know he just posted that he got hooked up. He's going to get he got a job at, you know, the place we all love, Home Depot. And he's, you know, the Home Depot is super stoked to have him on payroll with his knowledge and experience to help all the DIYers and people coming in to buy product. He's of huge value to him, but I guarantee you that there's no way Home Depot is paying him what his actual worth is.
Yeah. He's probably making like $13 an hour or something.
I mean, I hope it's closer to, no, you know, so 25, but it's stuff like that, right? Like how do we have to find a way to sell our skills and get our worth.
So I'm going to go back to the electrician that I know, right? Because we talked about the education that they have to go through. And that's where, you know, we will pay for our guys to go to trainings and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look at every training, it's a minimum of, you know, almost $700 at this point. And not only that, you have travel costs and everything. When electricians, you have to go to class on your own time. And depending on, you know, how far you are into it, it's one day a week, could be 2 days a week. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And the company will pay for that, but they're only paying like between $400 and $800 per semester for these people. And they're going on a weekly basis, sometimes, you know, twice a week. So until we get some programs like that set up, we're kind of behind in every single industry too.
And that's the succession plan, right? Like that's the plan that is presented to them up front. They understand that there's a path that they have to take, and that's part of the path. And mm-hmm. That's under, and that's part of it.
Well, there's not enough. Okay, so the electricians have their a lot of the trades, right? You got to go back and you got to look at, there was a strong union presence, especially on the East Coast years and years and years ago. There still is a big union presence on the East Coast. And so the electricians are their own union. The plumbers are their own union. When you start getting into flooring, hardwoods fall under the carpenters. But I don't look at it that way. Like, it's wood, but it's not, doing a wood floor is not like framing a house, right? And then where's carpet fall? Where's vinyl plank fall? The tile goes under masonry. So now you're already split there. But then you have plumbers that are told they're responsible for pans in some parts of the country. And then the tile guy comes and finishes the rest. Whereas in other parts, the tile guy can do the basic everything. Plumbing with the pan and everything. And so there is no standard. And what's always baffled me is that I can turn on late night television if I had TV, and I know I could still flip through the channels and I'm going to see an advertisement for Universal Technical Institute so I can go work on a car. I'm going to see an advertisement for their motorcycle branch. I will see an ad for a welding school. I'll see an ad for an HVAC school, driving a semi, right? All of these things. Where is the for-profit flooring school?
OnlyFans.
I don't, like, where is the guy that's going to build some dorms on some property and put up the for-profit flooring school?
Well, that's because the thing. It doesn't have to be a guy that does the school. It's if we get it into colleges like some of these other programs are, one, it becomes like you can actually, people can, companies can afford to send all their guys there all the time. Mm-hmm. And then two, it's people like us. Well, like say there's three classes a week. Well, and they're at night. So I'll go do one. He'll go do one. Someone else will go do one. And it makes it that much easier to where we're not having to travel everywhere. So I can see the benefit in the kind of what FCEF is putting out there in terms of getting these things in colleges. It's just how do we get the guys that are already in the industry on board to be able to teach what they know?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that goes to a theoretical that I've thrown out there is everyone's always, I can't find any good help. It's because you're not recruiting, man. Like you can't. Why aren't you going down to your local high school? Go talk to the school board. Go talk to the principal at a high school and say, hey, I have myself and, you know, four or five friends from different trades, and we would love to get in front of your students. What can we do to build this out? As you said, I don't have to go teach every class, but if I volunteer once a month to get in front of these kids, that's a huge difference. And
increasing their social capital too. And that does help.
Yes. And that's exactly it is. You want to know why nobody wants to do what we do? Because one, they've been told that college is the only way. And two, that they don't get any exposure. How many kids actually get to see a tiled shower go in or carpet installed or some other type of flooring? Like, we're a hidden trade. I say this all the time. Like I can drive down the road. My kid's going to see a road construction worker. They're going to see a painter. They're going to see, like a framer, right? I can see all those things as I drive around and buildings go up, but I don't see the finished trades. They're hidden inside. So I don't.
Well, there's a stigma to these people too, right? We call them helicopters, and sometimes they're kids, sometimes they're adults, but when they do see it, they are very interested, and then we end up getting mad at them because they're hovering over us all day instead of being like, hey, you're interested in this, let me explain to you what I'm doing. And we've been on job sites where, you know, there's kids there, and these kids, you know, they take all of our scraps and then they build something with it, and that's kind of where you have to start. And you know, we talked to Carlos with NFCAP. And he said that they don't have an issue with getting the kids in. They have an issue with placement. So what can we do as an industry to, that's where the employees come in, right? Because you have to be able to place them somewhere where they're not just going to be out fending for themselves and then throw them to the wolves. Here, you guys are basically business owners now. Go try and make some money.
Yeah.
Or put them with someone that's going to be like, all right, you're my 1099 employee, which is not a thing, by the way.
That's all. We got an episode on it. Isn't, on you Floor don't know Academy. Any better. No, it's not a thing. Don't look.
You know,
when you get taken advantage of. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It's how do you place them when there's not good placement options? And again, I think that comes down to if we got to send them three states over, then that needs to be something that's said on the way in the door to doing it is I have options for you, but the best companies I can find are not local. You're going to have to look to relocate. And maybe that's where us as employers need to step up and say, I got money. I can throw a little in towards relocation, but if you're actually getting a young person that's passionate, isn't that worth it? What's $1,500, $2,000 towards helping a kid move that's going to, you know, help you grow your business long term?
Well, that's where it's not even the younger kids, right? It's other installers that have been in it and are still looking to relocate. You can do that the same way. And it's just hard because the installers that have been in it don't get that same love from the industry that the newer people do. And
so there you go.
That's kind of what we have to, like, how can we, some of these organizations help these guys that have been in it, but still need a little bit of help in order to get elevated.
So theoretically, if we find a way to have existing installers have a path to get off the floor but still stay in the industry that they know, right, then in return, they'll find a way to attract other new faces to come in, because in order for them to get out, they have to find someone to come in. Maybe we're focusing on the wrong thing. Instead of trying to attract people, we need to try to create a path for people in the industry and start with the existing installers versus trying to get newer faces, and maybe that will inspire them to find a solution to get
We have
newer
to get
people.
Something set in stone and then everyone to buy into what we're putting out there. This is the path. This is what you can do. And then it's ultimately up to you. Like, how much do you want to learn to go to the technical side? Are you a salesperson? Can you teach? Everyone can teach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Correct. But I think that's where we have to go back to that employee model. When everyone's out on their own fending for themselves, you can't see what value someone could bring to the industry as a whole because they're struggling. They're too focused on the parts they're struggling with as opposed to the part they're good at. Whereas when you're running an efficient and effective company, you can say, hey, you're really good at marketing. I want you to go do that. And hey, you're really good at installing. I want you to do that. Hey, you're really good at training. I want you to start training all our new guys. And hey, you're really good at sales and I need a new salesman. So you go do that. You can start plugging people in where they fit best because you can really hone in on their skills and grow those skills. But if everyone's separated, you know, I'm having to focus on all the things that I hate doing because they take me longer and I don't get to do enough of what I actually enjoy. So I think that employee model will help do that. You know, you got to look at a company like Jason Goldberg's America's Floor Source. He's just out, you talked about it's easier to acquire companies to grow. And that's where he's at, is he's not buying market share and starting up new stores. He's out buying up entire, little mom and pop retailers that have multiple locations at this point and gaining market share that way. But it's because those companies are already built up so much. They have systems and processes in place. He can walk in and say, here's the new stuff. You follow these rules now. This is how we play. And I'm sure all of them are close. I've been trying to line up this interview for a while and I'd love to get it because I want to know why he's doing it this way. But I can look at it and kind of assume. So he's able to throw stuff in and say, okay, we're going to change this, this, and this. Everything else stays the same. Let's go. And he can send in a couple of his team members to his new location, have them up to speed within a month probably, and off to the races they go. And now everyone's doing it the America's Floor Source way, and he doesn't have to worry about it. Whereas for you guys at your size, if I throw a new employee at you, what's that look like to get them up to speed and into the system, right? It could take 6 months. And that's not a knock at you. It's that it's just not all the pieces are there yet, let alone if you were to try to acquire somebody. I just don't see that happening at this point. Like, I think
at our size, we are the person that someone acquires.
Well, no, but you can. So, but you could acquire an owner operator. Right. And you're going to bring him in and hey, we need your contacts and work volume, but you don't want to do it anymore. So you come be an employee for us and we'll take care of you. Here's your benefit package, all that fun stuff. Right. You could do that kind of a thing. And then you would acquire their tools and their contacts. But then how long does it take to say, no, you can't do it your way anymore? It's the preferred flooring way. It's
been
hard.
There and they've gone because that was
the
exact.
I gotta be the bad guy and let you guys know that we are running a bit over. So I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that was the thing. You know, we've been through that, and when they left, that was their quote to me was, "I need to do things my own way." That's all that needs to be said. Go do things your way,
and that's fine. But you know what? That's the problem with the industry, is that. Not everyone can be that stubborn. Somebody's going to have to bend, and there's a reason that you are running an inefficient business and we're still here and growing. Right? Like let's be a big boy and girl and look at it and swallow the tough pill and admit we're not the greatest thing since sliced bread and move forward.
So I think, you know, we'll try and wrap things up, right? And it kind of comes full circle in the conversation to really kind of why we're on here. It's that we're all in it together, and it doesn't matter if you look at someone as competition or not. What really matters is that it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because that person can be your partner. Mm-hmm. That person can elevate you. You can elevate them. And that's kind of why we're here. It's Kyle. I still listen to your podcast all the time. I haven't been to the gym in a while, and that's when I usually do. So I'm going to have to get back to it.
Me too.
We'll do it together, man. Accountability buddies. How about that?
That's exactly it. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? Is we just need more accountability in this industry.
Yeah. And yeah, 100%. I think that's where we're unique, is that we've all taken that step and become accountable to know that without doing something personally to help the industry, it'll never change. So we just project that out to everyone, and then hopefully it starts catching traction, which I think mm-hmm. we've all done a great job. I mean, a lot of people know us that don't necessarily know us personally, and that's huge. And to talk to these guys on a platform that anyone can really go on and benefit from, we're just unique in that in the industry, man. Not a lot of people are doing it. So thanks for everything you do, Kyle.
Give yourself a plug before you get off, though.
I was gonna say, everyone, make sure you go, you know, listen to Kyle's podcast. It's great information, man.
I wouldn't be where I'm at if Jose and Daniel didn't buy into what I was putting out there early on. Daniel was in the very first mastermind group. Jose hopped in the second one. So, you know, they were early adopters. They believed in what I had going on. They were supporters of the podcast. But, you know, I wouldn't be where I was at if I didn't see what they were doing. You go meet the Gonzalez family in person, and you are instantly being made fun of. You become a part of the family very, very quickly. They make it very easy.
I know, we love you, bro.
You fit in. And so it's awesome. And they're huge. They, you can't miss them if you go to a show, because they're the people wandering around in a pack of like 10 to 20 people. They brought mom with them last time.
With the backpacks.
Right? Like, yes. And they got backpacks, but like, you know, it's wives, it's employees. Like they come and they do it big. And that's great. Right. And so was inspired by that. I was inspired by many people. You're wearing Ken Ballen's shirt. You know, he was a big part in me being able to do what I'm doing right now. So I appreciate everyone that supported me. I appreciate everyone that is passionate about this industry and wants to see it change, and laid the way for me to even be doing what I'm doing right now, because I'll tell you what, growing up, podcasts didn't exist. So who knew that this could be
a career? Well, you got to give yourself some credit too, because you're putting in the work. You're putting in the work. It doesn't just happen on accident and organically. You're putting in the work. So
yes.
You got to give yourself some credit on that.
It's been a struggle.
We can continue this conversation.
Correct.
Check
out FloorAcademyPod.com if you want to see Floor Academy. You can find everything over there on the website.
Everything on the website. He's on all the platforms, as are we. So, you know, make sure you like and subscribe to everything that we got going on. Kyle, we appreciate you, and thanks for doing this crossover. It was an amazing time.
Yeah, no, it was great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
we could talk
it.
Forever.
Yeah, we'll have to do another one, maybe.
For sure.
You know.
Yes.
I don't know how soon, but we'll do it. So thanks, guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Sounds good. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I want to get a quick word in for Tice before we wrap absolutely everything up. Stay connected, continue discovering, learn more, and network. Now available, you will want to access the International Surfaces Event New Resource Library. Flip through the digital pages of the Tice resource books to source products, take tailored journeys through the Tice event offerings, or watch, rewind, and share Tice recorded content from the event. Available now at intlsurfaceevent.com, or click on the direct link in the show notes. You'll even see this podcast featured inside the Tice 2024 textbook, offering select recordings from this year's amazing event in Las Vegas. Don't forget, link is in the show notes, and head on over and see what you missed at the show. Make sure you put it on your schedule for next year. The dates are at intlsurfaceevent.com. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and I look forward to talking with you next week.